Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
As a prophetic expression, the primary purpose of the New Testament of the office of the prophet, of course, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, but also has an ability, the gift, not the man, the gift within the man, the grace gift, the measure of Christ's gift, has the ability to make decrees. In other words, a prophet, a true prophet, is a seer. And when he sees, in particular, what the enemy is getting up to, it is his responsibility to prophesy, if you will, or to declare or to decree a contradiction to it. That's actually how it works in its simplest format. So it's good to be with you all. Good evening. I'm glad you came back. And I believe we're going to have a great time. And in essence, although teaching will come out, I'm not really teaching. When I minister with this unction, then it is words that are released into the atmosphere that have tremendous power because it is the word of God. How many know God's word is powerful? Some of you believe it, some of you not too sure, but I can assure you it is. Words have power. I know you know that, but I want you to know it even more tonight. Because the limitation that I saw earlier must be destroyed. And if you bring a true prophetic expression into the city, it's not so that you can only receive personal prophecy. That's actually really not the function of a prophet, believe it or not. Of course, he can operate out of the gift of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy, which is the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the office of the prophet deals with primarily the works of darkness in a city and what's taking place. That is a contradiction or a satanic suggestion contrary to the will or the ways or the plans or the purposes or the secret or the mysterion of the living God for those people or for his precious church. Not necessarily speaking concerning one particular church, the church, the body of Christ, regardless of denomination, blah, blah. I want to deal tonight with false fire. Now, when I talk about fire, I'm talking about a spiritual reality. Okay, not too many amens out there, but okay. Every night has been different. Tonight is going to be different too, I believe, because God is just so awesome. So I'm going to go through a few scriptures to make my point, and then I will deal with some things. God is good. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 23, verse 29, please. I'm going to actually do something that I don't normally do, and I know you're not children, but just for effect. Let's read this together. It says, is not my word like a?
Fire.
Like a?
Fire.
Like a?
Fire.
Let's just get that point clear right now. After almost 30 years of serving the Lord, I have never in my life heard so much rubbish preached around the world concerning fire. I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner just like you. But if there's one thing that really will get me going is a reversion and a perversion of doctrine and the truth of God's word. I am amazed. When I travel the world and listen to some of the stuff that's out there, I actually want to cry. It's just, I'm going to say that again. This is God speaking. Now, I never wrote the Bible. I never said it. Is not my word like a
fire,
says the Lord, right? Yes. Not says Mark Bredenkamp. God's word, if you understand the word, the Bible, as we know it, is made up of words and commas and full stops and paragraphs and chapters. And it wasn't initially like that. Initially, It was the writings were pictograms, and anybody who studies the Bible and goes into the root and goes into the initial pictograms and goes into all of that understands one thing for sure: God's word is a consuming fire. And if you have the Holy Spirit and his fire, which means in the Greek, literally like a fire or like lightning. We're talking spiritual realities. Sometimes it is possible to experience that physically, but let me tell you who really experiences that true spiritual fire of the Word of God is an enemy that is under our feet. His name is Satan, and his principalities and his powers and his rulers of the darkness of this world and his evil spirits in heavenly places, they feel it. That's why when you do deliverances, you will hear demons screaming out, "I'm burning! I'm burning!" I didn't even strike a match. And we need to understand that there are two realities. One is a physical and one is a spiritual. And when we pray, when we speak, when we say, notice that the Bible says, speak to the mountain. Speak to the problem. So words and tongues of fire. Let's have a look at this. And like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. That's why oftentimes when, you know, I prophesy, I know some, I can hear the people think I'm mad. Last night I heard myself prophesying against the rocks, that he would break them in pieces. So we need to get into this because I know where I'm going, okay? For the change. He's giving me some grace tonight. Amen. Psalm 39 verse 3 says, my heart was hot within me, and while I was musing, the fire burned. Jeremiah the prophet said, and your word was like a fire shut up in my bones. The psalmist says, my heart was hot within me. I was passionate. I was passionate. It was hot within me. Or perhaps that passion could have been negative or positive. I don't know. But all I know is that he was musing. He was meditating. He was just thinking about the word. And this fire burned. And when the word of God, you understand, is a holy fire. When you understand that, my dear friend, my brother and sister, and it begins to burn inside of you, then I spoke with my tongue. When he spoke with his tongue, let me tell you something, there was a fire that burned. Can you see the connection? I'm just trying to make a connection to true fire and false fire. It'll make more sense now. But what I'm trying to point out to you is that when the word of God is driven by the breath of God, that word of God that comes off your tongue in the realm of the spirit is a fire. Amen. Let's check one more scripture just to make my point. Isaiah 30:27, I believe. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger. And his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring
fire.
Like a devouring
fire.
Say it one more time, please. And I can give you scripture after scripture after scripture. I don't know what's going on here, but let me tell you something. There is far too much false teaching out there that is messing up God's precious people, causing them to lose their passion, causing them to lose their fire, causing them to lose their zeal, causing them to become hard-hearted, causing them to become spiritually blind as Amalek rages against them, if you were here on Sunday night. God says, I will have war with Amalek from generation to generation, which speaks of doubt and spiritual blindness. And we as the church cannot allow this to continue. So tonight, I'm just going to give a few scriptures so you can see my point. I think I've made my point. We see that the man of God has a fire shut up, it's burning inside of him, and his tongue speaks its fire. God's tongue, his words are fire. Amen. Is everybody out there? And when his tongue is like a devouring fire. Amen. You must understand, if there be any demons now, may they be burning with the fire of the Holy Ghost, whether you can see them or not. And let them feel some pain. Why do you want to be nice to the devil? Why do you want to be nice to your enemy? I've been dealing with the occult for over 25 years, man. I had one lady many years ago come and say, you gone? I said, Lucy Lucifer. She said, you can't talk like that about the devil. She said, not even Archangel Michael, when contending over the body of Moses, brought a reviling accusation against Satan. I said, no, that's true. That's Michael. I'm not an angel. Come on, people. I don't glow in the dark. I promise you. Ask my intercessor. She'll tell you. I don't glow in the dark. And when I come against Satan and you come against Satan, we don't come against him in the name of Michael the Archangel. We don't come against him in the name of the Guru Mark Brittenkamp. We come against him in the name that is above every single name. His name is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who was and is to come, the reign supreme power. He is the resurrection. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And his word is like a fire. Well, I don't believe you can bind the devil. Yeah, you can't bind the devil. If you bind the devil, then why is he loose tomorrow? Because you're ignorant. And ignorance is the devil's happy place. I'm not being nasty, I'm just being honest. Ignorance is the devil's happy place. You can't bind. You can't lose. I don't care what you believe. But when I have some dude running at me with a knife that big, I don't go, I'm Baptist. I'm Pentecostal. I'm Catholic. I'm charismatic. I'm Pentecostal. I'm a Christian. No, my friend. I just go, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. So they kidnapped my eldest son, the occult. They kidnapped him. They were sent out. The assignment was to assassinate me. They couldn't get near me. So they kidnapped my son. There's a whole book written about it in Africa. And they tried to sacrifice him for, I say 45 minutes because it's conservative. They say longer. He and the person that kidnapped him from the occult. But they couldn't kill him. They tried to slit his throat for 45 minutes, but they could not get it to his throat. And all he was doing was speaking the word. As a 9-year-old child, he was quoting Ephesians chapter number 12, or chapter number 6, whatever, verse 12. Of course, we have armor so that we can walk around in a fashion parade. We have weaponry so that we can snooze and lose. You gotta be kidding me. Shadow boxing. I was preaching when they kidnapped him. This is a true story. There's a book about it. I never wrote it. The person that kidnapped him did. And I was preaching. And my wife came to me. And she said, "Mark, they've got Seth." I said, "Well, honey, get the elders." I was in another city preaching. I said, "Well, get the elders of the church and go and find him. But I will not allow Satan to interrupt my meeting. I will finish my sermon. I will finish my message. I will finish praying for God's people and then I'll join you." I said one prayer. They went out. They found him on the showgrounds of a place called Vereniging. And they were locked behind a door. All the elders and my wife were there. I can say her name because, like I say, they've written a book. She was actually an American not so long ago on TBN. But anyway. And when I got there, she was negotiating with my wife. Negotiating my life in exchange for my son's life. So my wife said, "Mark, you know, the negotiation is as such. It stands at the present. Your life in exchange for his life." I said, "Honey, God doesn't negotiate with the devil. The power of the Holy Spirit, whether you guys believe in the power of the Holy Ghost or not, doesn't matter. Works for me. He took me, flew me through the air over that wall. I landed right between him and the person trying to kill him. I said, I bind you and all your devils in the name of Jesus Christ." And my son said, "Yes, my daddy's here." Come on, people. It's time for you to realize that you've been given authority, that you are kings and you are priests. You are a royal priesthood. You are a chosen nation. You are God's warriors and weapons of war, according to the prophets. I'm not saying you'll have a rose garden. I never promised you a rose garden. I never said it would be easy. It won't be. I never said get saved and you'll have no problems. No, you'll have plenty. Sorry to inform you of that reality. But you have the ability to get through. We're living in a broken world, in a fallen world. Of course there's chaos out there. Of course there's evil out there. Of course there's all kinds of things out there. Obviously. But don't underestimate the reality of Christ's ability to get you through the pain, to get you through the shame, to get you through the tribulation, to get you through the persecution, to get you through whatever you're going through. And I'm not minimizing what you're going through, what you've been through. If I tell you my testimony, you'll all start crying, man. And I still looked at that witch and I said, "You don't need deliverance. You just need a good hiding." Then I took her in my arms and hugged her. I said, "I love you." And that love set her free. And she writes a book about God, who is love. But please, don't let people come and tell you. I don't know, last night was another night. Okay, let me keep it simple because there's stuff that I saw when I was driving here in the city that I want to deal with in the spirit, okay? And okay, so can we agree in the three scriptures we've read that God's word is fire? Yeah. Is that okay? And when it comes of your tongue, trust me, the Holy Ghost and his word is fire, all right? So where were we now? Isaiah, okay, so we need to understand that as much as what God's word is fire, a consuming fire for his enemies. God himself says, "I am a consuming fire." Holy angels are recognized as ministering spirits of fire. Hebrews chapter 1. You all know that stuff. I know that. Amen. Amen. We get baptized with the Holy Spirit and in fire. You see, people that have never, ever been in what we call the zone of revelation, have never even spent time in prayer outside of communion with God, which is nothing wrong with that. I'm not knocking or belittling that. I'm talking about moving in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about all this funny, weird, and wonderful stuff, man. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the real deal. And when you're moving in the real deal, you move in, there are over 20 different realms of revelation as revealed in Scripture. As adults, we operate in three dimensions. Children operate in four. Prophets will operate up until 10, 11, 12 dimensions. Dimensional expression, if you will. Doesn't make us special. Quite frankly, I think most of us are stupid. That's why God chose us, because my goodness, if we knew what was coming, we would have all run away. It's tongue like a devouring fire. But now, Satan always has an imitation. Is that right? He always has that which is destructive in his bent and has a desire to also reproduce, but he can only reproduce destruction. For he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his expression. He can also do signs and wonders and miracles. Okay? That's why the Bible doesn't say you'll know them by their signs and wonders and miracles. The Bible doesn't even say you'll know a prophet by his accuracy. Don't be silly. Satan can also prophesy accurately. Acts chapter, don't have to go there, we don't have time, but Acts chapter number 16, verse number 16. Paul the apostle and his apostolic entourage is going into a city, and a young lady begins to prophesy. These are men sent from the Most High God. Come to show us the way of salvation. Hallelujah. I just added the hallelujah. Okay? And she carries on. Says, she's telling the whole city, these are men. And she points to Paul and all these gurus. These are men sent from the Most High God. Come to show us the way of salvation. She carries on for days. And Paul doesn't quite get it in the beginning. But the Bible says after a few days, greatly annoyed. Not a little bit upset. The Bible says greatly. And when the Bible says greatly, it's greatly. He's ticked off into a whole new dimension of religion. Come on now, amen? And he spins around and he looks at that woman. And she's a youth. She's young. And he says, come out of her, you foul spirit of divination. And that devil manifests and she fell down. She couldn't prophesy no more. And then the city wanted to kill him because people were making money off of her. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you'll know them by their fruits. And that's not the fruit of the spirit. Peace, love, joy, because even Muslims can imitate that. Even Hindus can imitate. I'm talking about the fruits of spiritual productivity. The reason why I just said that was for a reason. I better get that reason because it was a good reason. There's one thing Satan cannot do. He cannot create. And if you study scripture, you will find out that the wizards and the sorcerers, when they resisted Moses and the truth of the message, they imitated, copied, however, we don't have the time to go into all that stuff, until there was one miracle they could not imitate or do or duplicate or what, however you want to, your theology works. Come on, please help me, somebody. And that's when they... When Moses and Aaron turned the sand into, some say lice, some say gnats, but whatever they turned them into, they could bite you sore. And even the wizards and the sorcerers had to acknowledge that the God of Moses and Aaron and Israel is the true God, because they could not create. Many people said with Mark, right in the beginning, when they threw down their staffs, there was a creative miracle because it became serpents. No, man. They were already serpents. Because if you studied in that culture, in that desert, there were serpents that if you pressed them a certain way, they looked just like a staff. And they were like rods. And then you throw them down like that, they become serpents. So it wasn't a recreation or a creative miracle. Is anybody out there? What am I saying to you? If you understand the end of days or the last days in the Greek language, and you understand Jesus' writings and Paul's writings, and as a prophet, I must study prophecy, because how do I prophesy if I don't know prophecy in the Bible? And I'll tell you something right now, that we are in a season in 2012 when everyone was prophesying the end of the world. I don't know if you can remember that one. And I got real upset and I went to God and I said, how come I have not heard about this? I'm serious. They're all prophesying it's the end of the world. How come you haven't told me what's going on here? And he said to me, and I'll quote him. He said, rubbish. And that already got half the religious system going. God would never use the word rubbish. So I sent them about 10 scriptures with words and actions in there that I cannot even mention from here. Oh, yay. Whatever. So God said, rubbish. Tell my people, it's not the end of the world. It's just the beginning of the end. So 2012 was a defining moment for the body of Christ, and in reference to scripture, relative to the season within which you and I find ourselves alive on planet Earth. And if you do study the prophetic scriptures in both the old and the new, you will understand that the body of Christ is about to step into one of the most amazing, supernatural, divine expressions of Christ that planet Earth has ever seen. Ay, ay, ay. So the enemy also likes his little fire. So we can go to James, chapter number 3, verse number 5, please, I believe. A lot of scriptures tonight, but so. Take it to verse 4, I think. Let's see what number 4 says, if it's possible. Look also at ships. Are we on the ocean? That's why. Close to the ocean. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Verse 5, please. Even so, like that huge tanker is turned by a little rudder. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Now, here's a false fire. Here's a satanic fire. You see, you get God's fire when His truth is spoken. But then you get a satanic fire when the tongue is ignited by the flames of hell itself. Let's check the next verse, see what it says. Remember, I don't prepare any notes for these things. And the tongue is a fire. So I showed you how the tongue is a fire, but relative to God's word, it's God's fire. Is that okay? Is that fair? Please help me. Somebody help me, Pastor. But we also see another fire driven by another tongue. Oh, we haven't got time to even get to Acts chapter 2, but or to Babylon. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Now, he's not talking about God's word. How many of you know if you speak God's word, hey, there be fire. But that be Holy Ghost fire, or Holy Spirit fire, or God fire. Is that fair enough? But then there's another fire, a satanic fire, that's ignited by the tongue too. And it's a world of iniquity, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Let me tell you something, dear brothers and sisters. I have sat with prostitutes, gang members, gang leaders, Satanists, cannibals, mass murderers, et al, et infinitum. Okay? But the most dangerous people I've ever met are Christians whose tongue is a world of iniquity that's set among their members, and it defiles the whole body. The Bible says it's not that which comes from without that defiles a man, but that which comes from within. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And what, look, and sets on fire the course of nature. In the Greek, it speaks of, it sets the course for your life. And I sit with leaders in the body of Christ. And I sit with Christians around the world. And as a prophet, I listen to the tongue. And many of those meetings, I get up and walk out. I just get up and walk out, lest I become defiled. If you're going to come and sit and gossip, or try to, or slander, or scorn, or scoff. And remember what gossip is when you talk about a problem or an issue or a something to somebody that is not part of the problem or the solution. And slander, gossip, and scoffing is in the same category as adultery and sexual immorality and drunkenness. But we leave that, and that tongue begins to set a fire. I've seen entire ministries destroyed by that fire. See, when I was driving into the city, into the region, I suddenly realized there was a fire that was raging, and I thought to myself, that ain't God's fire. And I realized that the tongue was out of control in some instances. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about within the city. And I realized that we need to deal with this fire, because this fire will attempt to destroy what God wants to do. If you don't understand the anecdote, which is the ability to take the truth and speak it out. Now, if you were here the first time I came, I taught you on the prophetic. Get that so you can understand, because it's very powerful. If I say we've raised the dead, I can prove it to you medically. We've raised the dead, okay? And I'm not saying this to impress you. I'm saying to you that what I've taught you up until this point in time, and even what I'm sharing now with your tongue, has the power to raise the dead. But it also has the power to destroy. And sets on fire the course of nature, speaking about the course even of your life. And it is set on fire by hell. Can we agree that there are two expressions of fire that come from the same source, the tongue? Right. If you want to remain pure, holy, and undefiled, stay away from people whose tongues have been set on fire by hell itself. Because the moment you lend your ear, they don't care about the catastrophe, Paul uses that terminology, or the destruction they're bringing into your life. But it produces, in the Greek language, I haven't got time to go into all this stuff, but it produces a war of words and a spiritual bloodshed. Paul actually uses very strong language in the Greek. He says, shun the dung. Okay, I need to wrap this up. So let's look at a fire that was started. I'm going to try and take a natural reality. And I'm going to pray for you, because I feel it in my bones to pray. Amen. I told you I want to be quick this evening. Okay. So let's go to Daniel, I think, Daniel chapter number 3, is it? Yeah. Daniel, chapter number 3, verse number 8. I know it's not, last night was more hallelujah, amen? And Sunday night was more hallelujah. But tonight is a little bit, ka-chow. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, oh, we could go on a tangent there, came forward and, everyone say that word. Say it again. One more time. The only, look, there are two columns of ministry. There's the ministry of condemnation, there's the ministry of righteousness. There's a ministry of accusation, or there's the ministry of intercession. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And whenever someone comes to accuse somebody in my presence as a prophet, and that person is not there to defend themselves, I tell them, shut up. My children to this day, I have 3 children and 2 grandchildren, they are not and never have, except once in my eldest son's life, only once, have they ever sat around the table and ran any man of God down, any brother Christian down, any sister Christian down. It's not permitted in my home because I have to have a place that is holy and not defiled. Because that hellfire that you ignite with a tongue, that is a contradiction to truth, my friend, attracts every manner of demonic force like a magnet. And accused the Jews with the tongue. The Chaldeans came and accused these who had stood strong and tall. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego and the like. They were young and they'd been taken captive. And they were in a city that had one of the great wonders of the world. But they stood in the midst of Babylon, my friend. And they stood tall and they stood strong. Taken away from their parents, taken away from their loved ones, taken away from their neighborhoods, slaves. And even then they're being accused. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever." Nice flattery, hallelujah. Just going to have to move a little faster with me, my honey. "You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image." In other words, we don't like the way these guys worship. We don't like the way these guys operate. They don't compromise. They you know, and they get called every kind of name under the sun. I don't know what's going on tonight, but anyway. Symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. In other words, the image that I created throughout scripture. Listen, even in the church, we build golden calves. The Israelites, when Moses was on top of the hill, the mountain, excuse me, getting the Ten Commandments on top of it, everybody down the bottom there thought that Moses had delayed coming down from the mountain. And the Hebrew would suggest bewush, which means that he'd lost his mind. He wasn't right in his mind. We don't want him anymore. So we'll build ourselves a couple of golden calves and we'll say, "These are the ones that have led us out of Egypt." And today there are too many golden calves where we have molded individuals into our perception of a religion, a belief system. If you were here last night, outside of understanding the reality of relationship. You see, I am not to you who I say I am. I am to you who you perceive me to be. And if you don't have perception, you will want to mold me into the image that you expect a man or a woman of God should be like. To walk a certain way, to talk a certain way, to smile a certain way, to hallelujah a certain way. Listen, as a prophet, many years ago, it's okay today, but many years ago, I told you last night, preach in jeans and a t-shirt, it was unheard of. And I would go, I don't want to mention names, to the biggest churches on the planet back in the day. And I would walk in there on the 21 day of a water fast. And I would walk in there in jeans and a t-shirt. And as I came to the door, I'll never forget how the usher looks at me like this, literally. And I used to have long hair and a ponytail, and he didn't know I'm the guest speaker. And the leader that had invited me there was on an international trip, so nobody had ever met me before. So I walk in there and he goes like this. I said, could I speak to the pastor on duty, please? He said, absolutely not. I said, oh, okay. So I went and I went and sat a huge, huge church, tens of thousands. I went and sat right in the front. Now, I'm not knocking reserving seats as long as it's not on the basis of hypocrisy. Sometimes it's necessary. I don't want my cell leader sitting at the back. If a devil manifests or 20 of them, I want them here in front. I don't want my band sitting all over the show when I start getting going. Now I've got to try and find them. I want them in the front. Is that okay? So that's not hypocrisy. That's just circumstantial. But there is. So I go and I go sit right in front. Then the band comes up. Everyone's running around looking for the guest speaker. He hasn't arrived, apparently. This is a true story. And they literally, they run. They're running. The band must be on about their third song. And everyone's panicking. Who's going to preach? Who's going to teach? We don't know what to do. And eventually some dude came to me and said, listen, you can't sit in the front here. You must move. And then I said, oh, my name is so-and-so. I am the guest speaker here. They never invited me back, but it doesn't matter. I had a great time. Amen. But we went for it. Amen. What was that all? Yeah, they try and mold you into an image, and then we worship that guru on the platform instead of God. Now, listen, I'm not knocking anything or anybody. I would never dare do that. I love the body of Christ, okay? I'm not stupid as Christ's bride. You got to be an idiot to come against the bride of Christ. I mean, most men sitting here will tell you they get real upset if you come against their bride. You think Christ is any different? He's worse. Let's go. And whoever does not fall down in worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. That tongue of accusation had set up these precious, righteous ones of God Almighty to end up in an environment that there was a fire that was supposed to be destructive, that should have destroyed them, just like I've seen in the city, a satanic fire that is supposed to be destroying the truth, that's supposed to be destroying the will of God in the lives of His people. I want you to know, that fire shall not prevail, but the fire of the truth of God's word that is released into the city shall prevail. I can assure you of that. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. I could go on a tangent, but let me not. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, when you don't bow to the popular decree, when you don't bow to the people. Well, I need to teach you something. The people, if you study in the Hebrew and you go into the pictograms, it is a terrible expression. It talks about a people that are in darkness. When opinion has more sway than conviction. Let me try and quantify that. People that are opinionated will always argue and debate and complain and just, opinionated people. But people that are convicted by the Holy Spirit for truth will die for that conviction. That's the difference between opinion and conviction. And there are far too many opinionated people with their tongues setting fires that are destroying God's precious people. Look, I don't know what I'm saying. It's got to be prophetic. That's why I'm here. And he doesn't tell me anything. He's not allowed to. Is that right? You pick me up at the airport. I do not allow any senior pastor of any church anywhere in the world. It's very difficult. It's very awkward. I do not allow conversation. I don't want to know. I don't want to know what's going on in the church. I don't want to know what's going on in the city. I don't want to know what's going on in the nation. I don't want to know, because I don't want him to steal my thunder when I prophesy. So I know something's happening. And nobody told me, but God is busy dealing with something. So gave the command to bring Shadrach, and it's going to really freak a bunch of demons are freaking out. But that's great. That's what we started off tonight. That was interesting. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound, I'll give you another chance. Just do what I tell you to do. Conform. Just conform. The horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, and the symphony with all kinds of music. Sounds very good. And you fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship..." How many of you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew how to worship? "But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." The tongue had set a fire. "And who is the God? Who is the God who would deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Just listen carefully to what God is saying to you right now. On the planet right now, there is a true church and there is a false church. Okay? We touched on it last night. It was very powerful if you were here. Okay? But the fact of the matter is this false religion, and I spoke about religion and the difference between... we as Christians have a religion but relationship, which makes all the difference in the world. But the conflict is going to get more intense now as we move forward, which is going to require the supernatural divine intervention of God to confirm the truth, which is His word, which is a consuming fire. Look, I'm being prophetic, so you might not be experiencing it. You know, when everybody's glad, prophets are sad. When everybody's sad, prophets are glad. Because we're not in your time zone. My memories that I have are not memories of the past. My memories that I contain are memories of the future. Because I've been to the future. Your future. And you really look a whole lot better, as Kim used to say. We have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. I prophesy to the city, I prophesy to the church in the city, that the satanic fire that has been ignited by the tongues that have been set by fires of hell itself shall not prevail, for God will deliver the church out of the fiery furnace, and they shall arise and worship the one true living God. And the Spirit of the Lord says, "I will be with you to the end of the age. I will be with you forever, and I will work with you, confirming my word with signs and wonders and miracles following, says the Lord." Come on, somebody. Okay. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. I love these guys. They got such a cool attitude. Such a cool attitude. But if not, in other words, God is in control. And whatever He decides, I'm okay with it. But I kind of know that whatever He decides will be in my best interest. You know, somebody came to me about my friend Kim, who died at the age of 60. Why did he die so young? I said, "Listen, man, it's not the duration of your life that really counts. It's your contribution to it. Some people live to 120, they've never contributed nothing. He gave his life to Christ in South Africa, Africa, when he was 17, 18. He's gone flat out until 60. He's making music Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, with a great cloud of witnesses releasing a new sound into the earth. I was sharing with Pastor Alex on my way here. I said, man, I had a real battle during my prayer time this afternoon. Always get one of them in the week. I said, you know, I've been there. He said, where? I said, there. Heaven. I said, no, I'm not talking about heaven. Been there too, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the great cloud of witnesses. I was once caught up and I was in the midst of the great cloud of witnesses, and they were, it was incredible. There were faces, but the sea of faces was just incredible. Cheering you on. They can't cheer someone on they can't see. I'll just say the scripture again so you can read it at home. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, and number 3. Okay. I'm just being cheeky. Come on, hold on. And suddenly I was zoomed in and taken to a young man who was 7 years old. I suppose I'll have to back up a little bit. I was in South Africa praying and fasting. Well, no, I wasn't fasting. I was just praying. And suddenly I had a vision. And I was taken to this amusement park in America, and I was looking in. And I saw this young man get into this ride on his own. I saw his mother. I saw his sister. I followed them in. It was dark. And he was the only one sitting in the ride. And in the ride, Satan meets this young man. And he gets terrified. And he, oh dear Lord God, I rebuke your insult of unbelief, man. And, sorry, it was just somebody. So he climbs out. And he's killed. That's the first vision. Then I'm praying some more. And God comes to me and says, I want you to give them a message from me. And he tells me about their future. He tells me about another child. He tells me a whole bunch of stuff. It was a second vision. It was a space of 2 weeks. The next thing, the third vision, I'm caught up into this place. Suddenly I see this, I don't know these people, I don't know nothing. I see this young man with a huge smile on his face. And he says to me, quote, tell my dad not to give up, to run the race and get the prize. And then he looks at me beaming, he says, and tell my mom, I've got the key to the door. I came out of that vision. Now, one thing I've learned is that it's just a standard principle. Any revelation I get, I must be able to back it up in Scripture. And I thought, whoa, this is hectic. I thought this guy's dead. What's going on here? But then God took me to the book of Revelation. How many of you remember John, the apostle, John? He was caught up. And while he was there, he was sobbing and weeping because there was nobody in heaven, on the earth, or anywhere for that matter, that was worthy to open up the seals of the book. Remember that story? And he was sobbing and sobbing. Not an angel, not God. One of the 24 elders stood up. Is anybody with me? Please help me. One of the 24 elders, which whether it was of the 12 tribes or of the 12 apostles, we don't know. But one of those 24 dudes who died thousands of years ago stood up and said, John, don't stress. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, look over there. Behold the Lamb of God. And John says, I looked and I saw a lion. There's a dude that died still giving you a message out of the book of Revelations today. So, no, I'm not into divination and speaking to the dead. I'm not. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you guys with me? Then I came to America. And while I was in America, I was ministering in a two-week revival in Hammond, Louisiana. A friend of mine. And at the end of the 2 weeks, we were sitting having lunch. I had to fly the afternoon. From there, we were going to the airport. And while he's talking, jibber jabber, jibber jabber. I mean, he's a dear friend of mine. I couldn't hear what he was saying because I was having a vision like a movie. It was playing in front of me. And while I'm busy looking at this movie, I see a young man. He must be about 24 years old. I see him drive aggressively. And there's demons all around the vehicle. And he's driving aggressively and he gets home. And when he gets home, he climbs out the vehicle and I see he's armed with a weapon. And he bangs against the door and I see activity in the house and people running around but looking out the curtains, the windows, and nobody's opening the door and he's getting frustrated and banging and banging. And eventually he goes and he climbs in the car. And I see him drive and I see the demons arise and they put the gun against his head, he parks on a tree and then he cries out to God and then he wins the battle and then he drives some more and the car stops and the demons take over and he cries out to God and he carries on for like the fourth time and he pulled the trigger. And while those guys talking to me, I just said, Bray, stop right now. I don't know what's going on, but I've just had a vision of a young man that's just committed suicide recently. And he goes white. He says, Mark, the Saturday before you arrived, I buried my sister's son, my nephew, who shot himself, parked in a car under a tree. I said, cancel my flight. I've got to speak to your sister. I've got to speak to his father. I have a message. So we went to them. They were devastated because she blamed herself. She said, if only I'd opened the door, he would have been saved. And I said to her, no, honey, if you had opened the door, you would have taken out the whole family. And at the end of the vision, God said to me, just remember this, Mark, he said, the madman of Gadara. The demons would take over, then he would cry out to the Lord. The demons would take over, then he would cry out to the Lord. So I shared this incredible message, and of course, God gave it to me. And God said, tell him he's with me. Now, if you can find me one scripture in the Bible that says if someone commits suicide, they go to hell, please send it to me. Okay? Find one scripture in the Bible, please. Send it to me. And tell me, and I know I'm talking to someone sitting here, because you think because someone committed suicide, they're going to hell. You know they didn't. And so I ministered to the family. And when I was finished, I said, you know, Bray, it's been a hectic couple of weeks. I've had these visions. And, you know, just recently I saw a vision of a young man die in an amusement park in America. He said, Mark, he said, it's my best friend. He's a huge minister in America. I don't want to get too into detail. Maybe you'll know. I don't know. But it was on the front pages of USA Today. And he said, please, man, phone him. Will you sit with him? I said, I've got to get back to Africa, man. I said, okay, tell him I got a message for him. So he phoned this guy, and this guy said, I don't want to speak to any South Africans, because his associate pastor was a South African and had said it's because there's sin in his life that his son had died. And he slammed the phone down, and I said, Bray, don't give up. Let's pray. I got to get to him. I have a message. Half an hour later, he phoned. He said, okay, I'll see him. I fly there. I don't know what I'm going to say. What do you say to a man who served God his whole life and 7-year-old child has died? Tragic death. They had one ticket left for the park. And the mother gave it to him, the last ride, and he dies. And what I didn't know, that had a huge, big 7-day. I don't know why we're going on this tangent. There's a reason for it. 7-day, like a big Hollywood show. Anyway, I got to my hotel room. I prayed for a couple of hours. I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for 2 hours, actually. I said, and you need to tell me what to say to this man, because how do I comfort this man outside of sharing the vision that I've had? And after an hour of prayer, God said, you know those hotels you have? Those little, am I boring you?
No.
That little piece of paper, I took it and I began to doodle. You know, doodle? And I began to draw the vision, but like a child, like a doodle. I began to draw the little faces in there. And I draw a little race, you know, little tracks, lines, and finish line, and a little comic thing. And I wrote in there what the little boy had said. And I put the start line here, and finish line, and empty line, with and a little baby, and little stick men, stick daddy, stick mommy, stick little sister, and empty lane. I said, he said, give that to him. I said, Lord, that's insane. He's going to think I'm mad. The man's in pain, man. He's just buried his 7-year-old son. God says, just do it. He will appreciate the artistic value, quote unquote. I've learned from experience, just do what God tells you to do. So I went, I sat there the Sunday morning. I'm going to preach as well. I opened my Bible. I said, Rob, I don't know what to say to you. My condolences to you. And I gave him that doodle. And he broke down and he fell down and he sobbed. And so I thought, oh dear Lord God Almighty, what have I done now? And he jumped up and he ran to his desk and he thrust the books off the corner. And there were three little pieces of paper where his son had drawn him little pictures, just the same style as I had just written. And then he knew, just from that, he said, now I know you from God. And he'd sat with every big name in this nation. I don't want to mention names. And not one of them could give him one word of comfort. I said, Rob, first of all, Satan killed your son. Secondly, God says this, this, this. But thirdly, I'm just going quickly now, but thirdly, I said, I have a message for you from your son. I said, he tells me to tell you, run the race, don't give up, get your prize. He broke down again. He said, Mark, you don't understand. As missionaries, for a season of time, when we used to go out at Christmas time, birthday times, there was never a present. It was never a gift. It was always a prize, a prize. He says, nobody knows that the importance and the value of that term, prize, in my house except me and my wife. He says, I need you to meet my wife. I said, okay, we went for lunch. I said to her, and I told the whole story and told them the future and told them that God will give them another son, which has all come to pass. But I looked at her and I said, your son says to tell you, he has the key to the door. And she broke down and sobbed. I thought, at the end of their 7-day play in honor of this child, she finished off the play holding a huge golden key to a door, which symbolized the door of life, the door that goes into eternity. And God touched and healed them. Now, I don't know why I'm telling you these stories. I very seldom share these things. But I tell you something right now. God is going to touch some people in this place tonight. You have believed the lie. But I'll get there. Let me just finish this quickly because we must finish this word. But if not, even if we die, doesn't matter. Let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their outer garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The prophetic point is this, is that the fire that tongues have created in the city, contrary to the will of God, the way of God, the move of God, the spirit of God, the revival of God, whatever of God, is going to consume them. They fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? The answer said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Here's my point. I have to close because of time. Here's my point. And I'm not just talking to this church. I'm talking to the body of Christ in the city. Okay? This is the platform from which I prophesy. In every city, God gives me a platform. And sometimes it's a church of 20,000, sometimes it's a church of 20. It doesn't matter to me. It's where the gift is accepted and celebrated, there I go. Not where I'm tolerated. I don't go where I'm tolerated. I go where the gift is recognized, accepted, and celebrated. Otherwise, I waste my time. Look, he answered. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. That fire, that satanic fire, ignited by the flames of hell itself, because of the tongues of those who do not speak in line and accordance with the word, will not be able to consume God's precious people if they stay true and maintain an attitude that says, no matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter whether I get betrayed, no matter whether I get hurt, no matter, people, there's no ways you're going to walk this road as a Christian and never get hurt. There's no ways you're going to walk this road as a Christian and never have problems or issues in the church. You're going to. But just remember this, no matter what happens, develop an attitude that says, God is able, but if not, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to serve Him. And then you watch what happens in the fire. In that satanic fire, or that satanic persecution, or that satanic accusation, or that satanic betrayal, whatever it is, Jesus will be with you. In the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tribulation, in the midst of your pain. Can you say amen? Let's give Jesus a praise offering. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.